dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be back with you today right here on WMAF. And get a little chilly up in North Florida from time to time, and it's coming all the way down here to Tampa, but it's seasonal, and I'm really enjoying it. We're glad that you are with us today. We don't know if you listen by radio or you're listening over a computer as this broadcast streams over WMAF as that station streams 24/7, but we are so glad that you have tuned in today. We don't know if you're locally listening right there in Madison in North Florida, or if you're listening in some other state or some other country, but we are so glad that you are listening. Praise God. These are days when it's really crucial that we hear what the Spirit says to the church. And God has given us His Holy Word that we might hear clearly His heart in these days of trouble. And His heart is so filled with love for you today. Now, you may feel like, you know, I don't deserve anything like that. You can't be talking into me. You don't even know me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. Well, I'm here to tell you God knows you, and He knows me, and He knows where we've been, what we've done, and He knows what we're going to do. He sees the end from the beginning, and the Bible said there's nothing hid from the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. He knows the terrible bondage of sin, and He wants to set us free from it and forgive us our sins. That is the incredible message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is so beautiful, so powerful, so potent, because today, this very day, your life can change, and so can your eternal destiny. Praise God. Amen. In just a few moments, we're going to be talking about Mephibosheth. I didn't stutter or get tongue-tied. This is a character in the Old Testament, and the theme today will be blessed for the sake of another, the transforming power of grace. Praise God. Well, friends, we're just glad you're with us today. This broadcast originates in Tampa, Florida, where I have been pastor of the Holy Church of God. This January will be 35 years. So we have been in this city for a long, long time, and we have been on radio in the past. We had broadcast live when in downtown Tampa at a station. I used to go into the studio and sit down, and they would cue me, and 5 days a week we would make a live broadcast, and this one isn't live. I make it in my office and send it to Madison, and it goes out from there. But it is alive because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So we are just thrilled today to be able to continue to reach out with a message that has such power and potency to change lives. Your life may be in need of that change today, and I'm telling you, amen, you don't want to miss this broadcast. Please stay tuned. If you don't know the Lord, please stay tuned. If you are a Christian who has fallen away, has lost the appreciation for the grace that saved you, please stay tuned today. God wants to win back your heart. He loves you so much today. If you're a Christian today and you don't feel worthy of many of the blessings you read in the Bible because you are imperfect, I want you to stay tuned to this broadcast today. And if you've got it all together, you just stay tuned and pray that God's Word will find the target in the heart that He wants it to find today. Praise God. Amen. I want to talk about Mephibosheth, and I want to talk on the theme of blessed for the sake of another. I want to make a statement before we go to the Scripture, and the Scripture today will be out of 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Grace is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible. It encapsulates God's redemptive love for fallen man when He punished His Son for our sins and forgave us for His sake. You know, that's the story of Mephibosheth. It captures beautifully the character and the consequences of grace. You know, while the Bible said we're supposed to forgive one another, the Bible said we're supposed to forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. There's nothing in us that merited that forgiveness. Even when we ask for forgiveness, we're still forgiven, not because we have become so humble and so repentant that God sees merit in us. No, we are forgiven for the sake of another. If Jesus hadn't died on that old rugged cross, there is no possible way for God to forgive us. But thank God He did go to the cross for you and go to the cross for me. Listen to our scripture today, 2 Samuel 9. And David said, "Is there any yet that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodbar." And David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodbar. Now it gets good. Listen to this. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I?" Now, I want you to listen to that again. He said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" You know, you can come to the place in life before we continue reading this wonderful story of grace that you feel like, how could God possibly care about you and want to bless you so wonderfully? Amen. You can come to the place that you feel like Mephibosheth felt. What possibly could you find in me worth even look upon, let alone looking upon with such kindness and grace and generosity? Let me tell you something today. You may be the black sheep of your family, and maybe they've told you to get out and never come back. Maybe they have turned their back on you, and maybe you did things that has caused them to close their heart, and things that you can't just undo, words that you can't unsay. But I'm telling you something, amen, when you get into this wonderful grace of God that is given to us because of Calvary, the love that flows from that cross, my brother, my sister, I'm telling you today, you can find favor in God if you repent of your sin. And I just want to tell you that when lives are transformed by the power of grace, a lot of times families that have spurned members see that dramatic dynamic change and welcome them back in open arms. But whether they do or whether they don't, God will welcome you. And I'll tell you, somebody else will welcome you if you drop into that church in your community on Sunday morning, amen, and you start seeking the Lord, God's family will welcome you. We're all sinners saved by grace, but we're no longer sinners. We are still saved by grace, but we are the sons of God and the daughters of God because of this wonderful grace. Hallelujah. And I encourage you today, if you feel like a dead dog today, God wants you to feel entirely different if you will receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Let me finish reading this in verse 9. Then the king called unto Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and all his house, Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba and 15 had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all thy lord king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Now, not only is he sitting at the king's table, he is being considered as the king's son. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micha, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants also unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was still lame on both of his feet. Someone asked the difference between grace and mercy. Mercy, you don't get what you do deserve. And grace, you do get what you don't deserve. I want to say that again. When mercy is in effect, you don't get what you do deserve. God shows you mercy. You and I should be judged and punished, but we don't get what we do deserve. But grace, you do get what you don't deserve. Amen. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. When we get to heaven, we're going to be absolutely in shock and awe when we see the holy city, the New Jerusalem, just because of the glory and grandeur of that wonderful place. I mean, 12 foundations and all those foundations out of precious stones. Praise God. Amen. Gates carved out of solid pearl, and streets of pure gold. And as mind-blowing as that is, just wait till we see the river of life that flows from beneath the throne of God. And speaking of the throne of God, that we might approach that holy heavenly throne as His dear children, with Him as our Heavenly Father, and find acceptance. And oh, what grace has done. And there's going to be something else that we stand in awe of. The overwhelming sense that we, in and of ourself, do not belong in a holy place like this. And yet, we are there. Ah, friend, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Amen. God is the initiator of this saving grace. And David said, is there any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Someone has said saving grace is something that begins and ends with God. Man does not seek God. God seeks men. Oh, friend of mine, the Bible said in Romans 3:11, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. I'm not talking about, falling out of the boat and a big shark swimming towards you and you crying out to God. That's not seeking God. That's just asking God to save your hide. Amen. Not your soul. Seeking God involves wanting to be right with Him. Seeking God means wanting to know Him intimately and personally. And there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Amen. Man does not initiate salvation is what this verse is talking about. God does. Man does not provide the means of salvation. God did. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it said, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God saw the need of man, and He took the initiative. He provided a Savior to cleanse us, a Spirit to draw us, and a plan to save us. Grace is totally sovereign. It is something that God does for man. You're not going to heaven because you belong to the first church. That's a newsflash to some of you, but I'm telling you, by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. No person in heaven is going to be able to boast of the good works they did that got them there. And yet when you get saved, we are created unto good works. Good works are going to mark us as people who have experienced salvation. For we are created unto good works, the next verse said. But you're not going to heaven because of the works. You're going to heaven because the work of Jesus on the cross when he shed his blood for you. You're not going to heaven because you're the most upright person in your community. You're not going to heaven because you're charitable and kind to the less fortunate. There's nothing you and I can be or do to save ourselves without the grace of God. Let me read from Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 6. And you hath he quickened, which means given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, which means our lifestyle, our behavior, our moral values in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, remember what mercy is? Amen. You don't get what you do deserve. For God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Remember what grace is. You do get what you don't deserve. God's forgiveness, God's acceptance into his royal family. And verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, I want to continue reading. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The reason God saves us is not for any merit of our own, but for the sake of another. David says that he wants to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. The word for kindness here in the Hebrew is also translated goodness, mercy, favor, and loving kindness. It is the Old Testament equivalent to the New Testament word grace. Grace is often defined as the unmerited love and favor of God toward the undeserving. Grace is one person accepting another in a positive manner in spite of the unworthiness of the person being accepted. See, you might be that dead old dog that doesn't deserve anything but judgment. But God loves that dead old dog. He loved this dead old dog. And he showed me kindness and mercy and forgave my sin. Let me tell you something out there today. When I was in high school, I started my road to rebellion and road to destruction. I nothing wrong with owning a motorcycle, but I had the black leather jacket with it. And in my pockets in one side, I had a homemade blackjack, a braided leather with a piece of a lead ball on the end of it. And in the other pocket, I had a switchblade knife. When I started dating my wife, the dean of girls called her in and told her to stay away from me because I was bad news, bad to the bone. And I'm telling you, there's transforming power in grace. When I met Jesus, my hard old heart just melted. Amen. And when he forgave my sin, took out that old heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Praise God, took all that hate and angst out of me, filled me with love for people. I'm telling you, if you don't believe grace can transform, if you think every time you hear a preacher that preacher just was, you know, raised up in church and always walked that that straight, narrow road, and always just one of those straight-laced guys that don't know anything about sin. You're very wrong. Your pastor, your preacher came from somewhere. We were all sinners before we got saved. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I'm so glad to declare to you today, amen, that this old dead dog has been quickened, has been made alive unto God, and the devil is no longer my taskmaster. He doesn't enslave me anymore. I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Make no apology for it. I serve a great and good God that has shown me kindness. Praise the Lord. Amen. David desires to extend grace to a member of Saul's family. This is amazing in light of the fact that in those days when a new king came to power, he usually destroyed every member of the former king's household in an effort to prevent any rebellion by that family. David had the right to execute judgment, but he chose to demonstrate grace instead. David did this not because the house of Saul deserved it, but because of his relationship with Jonathan. And God extends His grace to us because of another. No wonder grace is called amazing. God extends His grace to the members of Adam's family. We do not deserve His grace, His love, His mercy. In fact, if we received what we deserved, we would receive judgment, damnation, and hell. But the Bible said in Romans 6, according to Romans 6:23 and Ezekiel 18:4, yet God extends His amazing grace to us because of another. He reaches out to the fallen, depraved sinners because He loves His Son and because Jesus died for us on the cross. Neither you nor I have anything to merit us to God. But because of Jesus, we can experience God's amazing love. No wonder grace is called amazing. I like this story that demonstrates grace. A man dies and goes to heaven. Of course, St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates. St. Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it to heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each of them, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, you get in. Okay, the man says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her even in my heart. Ah, that's wonderful, says St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points, he says. Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with my tithe, time, and service. 1 point, Peter says. Golly, how about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for the homeless veterans. Fantastic! That's 2 more points, he says. 2 points, the man cries. At this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God. 100 points, Peter says. Come on in. Church, and I tell you, if you're not part of the Church of Jesus Christ, grace is amazing, absolutely astounding. I have been saved since I was going on 22 years of age. When I was saved when I was 21, the latter part of my 21st year, and I have been serving Jesus, and I am now 61, getting ready to turn 62. And I am still amazed at the grace of God. I have been preaching this gospel for over 35 years. And I stand amazed at the grace of God. Hallelujah. Every time that we celebrate Holy Communion on the first Sunday of every month, I feel my heart begin to melt. And I feel that lump in my throat and that joy in my soul of what it means to be forgiven for the sake of another. Just to think that Jesus would go to the cross for me, that He would lay down His life for me. And friend, when you know who Jesus was, it makes it even better. We're entering into the Christmas season, and as some song says, 'tis the season to be jolly. Oh, friend, this is far beyond jolly. This is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every time I see a manger scene, I still feel that flutter in my heart, because I know that God came down to this earth. God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, God became flesh so that He could go to the cross as a sinful man, even though He never sinned, so that He could be punished as a sinner for your sake and mine, so that my sins and your sins might be judged in Him, so that God could forgive you and God could forgive me. That is why grace is so amazing. We are forgiven for Christ's sake. That is the reason for grace. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, "And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." The transforming power of grace is so absolute and so wonderful. Hallelujah. And I want to save that for another time. We're getting ready to close this broadcast today, and I feel like I'm talking to somebody that feels like that dead old dog. And you have somehow stayed tuned. You don't normally listen to preachers preaching, but you have stayed tuned to this broadcast to this point today. And I believe you did because the Holy Spirit Himself is drawing you to God and to Jesus Christ. And today, amen, God is looking kindly upon you for Jesus' sake. Not because you deserve it. You didn't, and I don't either. But because of what Jesus did at that old rugged cross, God is looking upon you with a desire to bless you and restore your soul. Sin has made you a hopeless cripple and an outcast, but God wants to heal you, and God wants to save you today. This is the message of Christmas. This is the message of the cross. This is the message of the Old and the New Testament. We serve a God of grace and a God of goodness. And I'm going to challenge you right where you are today to accept this gift. I heard of a great, great monarch one time that a simple farmer had saved his son from drowning. His young son had fallen into the river, and this poor man pulled him out. And he brought this man into the temple of such his palace, just palatial beauty and wealth. And he took a huge ruby from his jewel collection and held it out to the man, who would not even look up at the great monarch. And the poor farmer was so overwhelmed with even being that close in proximity to the king that he wouldn't even lift up his head, and with his head held low, he said, "Master, it is too much for me to receive." To which the great monarch said, "That may be true, but it's not too much for me to give." And with a trembling hand, he reached out, and the king placed this great jewel in his hand. And he went home transformed, a rich man. And I'm telling you today, if you'll just reach out to receive the gift of God, the grace, the mercy, the love, because of what Jesus did at the cross, today, this very day, your life can be changed. And from here on out, you can eat at the king's table and be called and treated as one of his very own sons. This is the glory of grace and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you open your heart right now? Ask God, to forgive your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Repent of your sins. You can't change yourself, but friend, God can change you, and you can be blessed for the sake of another. Come back next week, will you please? And let's talk about Jesus.